This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us goodness and success in this life and in the hereafter. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability that we visit His house and we perform a umrah and a hajj sincerely for His sake. Innahu waliyu dhalika wal qadiru alayh. My brothers and sisters in Islam, as we are awaiting al-hajj, and this is the final greatest deeds of the year. So you all know that the Islamic year is coming to an end. We are now in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, and this is a sacred month. And the month that is coming after Dhul-Qa'dah is the month of Dhul-Hijjah, and that is the last month of the year. And it is incredible, and it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom that He made the conclusion of the year with a great worship, and that is the Hajj. The Hajj, it combines all the pillars of Islam. And this is the fact that there are prayers that happen in Al-Hajj. From the greatest matters of Al-Hajj is At-Tawheed, and that is Al-Shahadatayn. We also give charity in Al-Hajj. And there is also fasting during these 10 days. For those that don't do the Hajj and they remain back at home, it is obviously recommended in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah to fast them. And then there is also the pillar of Al-Hajj. And all the pillars of Islam do not combine in the year except in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And that is right at the end of the year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to end the year on a high. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for Al-Hajj to be conducted at the end of the year so that we clear our accounts, we clear our sins, we purify our hearts and our souls at the end of the year, and we begin a new year with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a clean heart and a clean soul. My brothers and sisters in Islam, what I wanted to share with you in tonight's lecture is the purposes of Al-Hajj and Al-Umrah. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of this great worship, Al-Hajj and Umrah? And these are points, my brothers and sisters in Islam, I want you to write down and memorize them. There's about 7 or 8, I'm not sure how many I will share with you, but we'll take them, inshallah ta'ala, over 2 lessons if we need to do so. You need to memorize and always reflect and ponder over these purposes so that when you're undergoing your Hajj and your Umrah, you feel that there is a purpose and you know what you're doing and you understand what you're doing. And if you feel tired, if you feel sick, if you feel lazy in your Hajj and in your Umrah, all you need to do is recall these purposes and reflect over them and bring them back to your mind and to your heart. وَبِإِذْنِ ta'ala, it gives you the energy and the charge to continue to perform this Umrah in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the beginning, I want to say something very important, and that is an ayah from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب. Something very important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this ayah that speaks about Al-Hajj. He concluded the ayah by saying, وَتَزَوَّدُوا. وَتَزَوَّدُوا means pack up, pack up. And so now, 3 weeks away from Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, the Hujjaj are busy packing up. People are packing up. People are asking questions. What do I take with me? How much money do I take with me? People are asking, how many ihram do I take with me? People are asking, what kind of soap and what kind of shampoo and what kind of whatever can I purchase? Do I have to have sleeping bags? Do I need to buy this? Do I need to buy that? People are busy packing up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتَزَوَّدُوا, pack up and get ready and get prepared. This is a journey of a lifetime. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what is the best thing to pack up. And he said, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. He said, the best thing you can pack up is at-taqwa. The best thing you can pack up is piety and a pure and a clean heart. People are busy packing up their bags with worldly matters. But my brothers and sisters in Islam, do not forget the real preparation for al-hajj, and that is at-taqwa. Wat-taqwa is at-tawbah. This is the main thing that we're supposed to pack up. At-taqwa. Have you made a sincere tawbah before this trip? Have you made a sincere tawbah before this trip? You see, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before his trip to Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, before he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens, Jibreel alayhi salam came to him to his bed while he was sleeping in Mecca. And he opened his chest sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in Jibreel took the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he washed it with zamzam. And then he put it back in the chest of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He prepared his heart. Why? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to undertake a journey of a lifetime. And that is that he is going to go from Mecca to Baytul Maqdis and then he's going straight up to Al-Sama and he will see Allah. He's going to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah azza wa jal prepared his heart before he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in the same manner, now when we are going to go to Al-Hajj, we are literally going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Al-Hajj is about. It is about a meeting between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is only proper from the servant that he cleans his heart before he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the house of Allah azza wa jal that he had chosen for mankind. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, as you prepare and as you pack up, do not forget the greatest preparation, and that is to prepare the heart for this meeting with Allah azza wa jal. So purify your hearts from the diseases, from the desires, from the sicknesses, from jealousy, from hatred, from if there is hatred and animosity between you and others, clear the heart from this. Reconcile with the people before you go to Al-Hajj. You want to go with the best heart state possible. We need to perform Al-Hajj wal-Umrah with a pure heart. Leave al-riba if anyone is dealing with usury and interest. Leave that. Make a tawbah from it and come out of it as soon as you can. Do al-hajj with halal money. Make sure that your wealth is halal. Make sure everything that you pack up and you take with you is al-halal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. For Allah azza wa jal is pure and he only accepts that which is pure. And then at the end of the hadith, he mentioned the situation of a man. He mentioned the situation of a man, and look how beautiful this is. He said, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلُ يُطِيلَ السَّفَرُ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرُ يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَقُولُ يَا رَبِّ يَا رَبُّ وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامُ وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامُ فَأَنَّ يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us about a man who has traveled for a very long travel. Imagine a man that has traveled for very long and his hair is disheveled. And he's all dusty and dirty. And he raises his hand to the sky. You see, a traveler, his dua is accepted. And a person in this state of hair that is disheveled and dusty and dirty, his hair, his dua is accepted. Then he raised his hand to the sky. And the one who raises his hand to the sky, his dua is accepted. Then he said, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb. He's imploring and begging Allah Azza wa Jal through his name, Ar-Rabb. And that is a means of an accepted dua. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, however, while he's in this state and he is in the best position of making dua, the problem was that his clothing was haram and his food was haram and he was nurtured upon al-haram. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how can Allah answer this person? How can he answer him? He will not be answered. Therefore, it is very important to understand that from the preparations for Al-Hajj, You need to make sure that your Hajj is being done with halal money and your preparation for al-Hajj is with halal materialistic matters of this worldly life. And then the preparation afterwards is to learn about the rituals of al-Hajj and the purpose of al-Hajj wal-Umrah. This is why the brothers, may Allah Azza wa Jal reward them, were eager and keen to put these lessons together on this platform, Zoom, so that you can learn, so that you can prepare for al-Hajj. The greatest preparation is at-taqwa of the heart, cleansing the heart from its filth and evilness by at-tawbah. And then the second best preparation for al-Hajj wal-Umrah is to seek knowledge and to understand. And the best of this knowledge is to learn exactly the purpose of al-Hajj wal-Umrah. Why? Why the Hajj and Umrah? And then to understand, what do we do throughout 6 days of al-Hajj? What is Arafah? What is Muzdalifah? What is Mina? Why do we go and why do we come and why do we move from place to place? And then al-Jamarat, why do we do the stoning and why 7 times? All of this, there is deep knowledge about. And this is the knowledge that we want to seek. Once you seek this knowledge, you are now bi-ithnillah prepared to go to al-Hajj wal-Umrah to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the road to Mecca and the road to al-Hajj wal-Umrah is indeed a difficult road. You can already experience, the organizers are going through a lot of sleepless nights trying to put everything together for you all. And I'm sure that you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that have purchased your Hajj packages are also excited and you're also experiencing these difficulties of delayed announcements and flights and itineraries and hotels and still visas and money payment issues and so on. Doesn't matter. This is all part of the difficulty. The road to Mecca, the road to Al-Hajj wal-Umrah is indeed a difficult road. Even Mecca itself, Allah Azza wa Jal would choose for it to be built in an uncultivated valley. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, رَبِّ إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِن ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. Allah Azza wa Jal chose for Mecca to be built in an uncultivated valley where there is no greenery, there are no shrubs, there's no water, there's no life, there was nothing there initially when the house of Allah Azza wa Jal was built, right? Why didn't Allah Azza wa Jal choose for His house to be built somewhere in Europe, in the green lands, in perfect weather, next to the coastline and the seashore? Why not? There is wisdom in this, and that is to teach you that if going to Mecca is a difficult road, it's a difficult, tough road, then also you should learn and understand that the road to Allah Azza wa Jal is difficult. The road to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is difficult. And there is extreme hardship and there is labor and there is intense struggle to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't you realize every single day you have to get up at Salat al-Fajr, whether it's the cold weather you're living in, and making wudu and walking to al-Masjid and then praying 5 daily prayers. And then there's a dress code that we're supposed to adhere to. And there is halal food that we're supposed to eat and other foods we're supposed to avoid. And there is this consistent battle that the believer is consistently fighting himself so that he can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the meanings of your trip. You should learn and you should understand this. As you undertake this journey, right? And you're going from one city to another, and then to Malaysia, and then from Malaysia to Jeddah, and then from Jeddah you're going to go by the bus to Mecca. You're going to experience that this is a difficult road. This is an intense road. It's not like if a person wanted to go for a holiday in Bali. Very easy. Jump on a plane from your city and go straight to Bali airport, go down and they'll pick you up and they'll transfer straight to your hotel and you're greeted with juice and you're greeted with a cold refreshing drink. This is worldly matters. You need to understand when you're going to Allah Azza wa Jal, there is difficulty. This is why Mecca and the house of Allah Azza wa Jal was put in where it is now, in the hottest places on earth. And there is no greenery and it's all dust and it's all sand flying all over the place. You'll realize and you'll experience.
And I want you, when you observe all this hardship, you need to just keep that smile on your face and keep that heart alive and pure and understand that Allah is teaching you that if the road to my house is a difficult road, then the journey and the road to me is also a difficult road. Look at the money that the people paid. Look how much difficulty this has brought upon many people. They paid 20,000, 27,000. These are prices unheard of. Maybe you might say this. Wallahu alam, I don't know where all this comes from. But I am sure that there is a wisdom from all of this. And this is only to teach us that al-hajj is not only physical burdens and hardships, but also financial burdens and hardships as well, right? For we need to understand that the road to Allah Azza wa Jal is a difficult road. This is why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Huffatil jannatu bil makarih," that the paradise, it was surrounded with hardships. It was surrounded with struggle and difficulty. Meaning, the one who wants to enter the paradise, he needs to take this road, and this road is going to be full of difficulty and struggle and hardship. This is what it means that the paradise was surrounded with difficulty and hardship. Well, Hajj is no different. You're going to experience heavy hardship in this one. More so because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that al-Hajj upon the elderly and upon the children and upon the woman is their jihad. Can you imagine this? This is the greatest jihad of a woman and the elder people and the young children and the sick and the disabled and so on. This is their best hajj. Allahu Akbar. As Aisha radiallahu anha, she said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is their jihad, meaning fighting upon the woman? He said to them, upon you is a jihad in which there is no bloodshed in, and that is al-hajj, and in a narration, wal-umrah. So we're speaking about the peak of the peak. That is where we're going. And this is bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, what we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make easy for us. My brothers and sisters in Islam, if a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من غدا إلى المسجد أو راح أعد له الله نزلا كلما غدا أو راح. الله أكبر. نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, every time the servant goes to the masjid in the mornings and in the evenings, Allah Azza wa Jal will prepare for him what the owner of a house prepares for his guests. This is what? This is just going to the masjid. Masjid could be 5 minutes from your house, could be 10 minutes from your house. If you went to al-masjid, Allah Azza wa Jal's promise to that person is that he will prepare for him what an owner of a house prepares for his guests. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the all generous. Imagine then, you did not only go to the masjid down the street, but you went to the mother of all masajid, and you went to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perform al-hajj wal-umrah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is Allah Azza wa Jal going to prepare for such people? What is He going to prepare for them? Allahu Akbar. One cannot even understand the kind of reward and the kind of pleasure that he will be showered with from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. These are meanings we're supposed to understand. This is from the greatest purposes of al-hajj wal-umrah, to earn the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and to earn the great rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you think of it, my brothers and sisters in Islam, you know, if a person now, right now, visited your house, let's say a dear friend of yours visited your house today and he sat for 2 hours, what are you going to do? Of course, you prepare for him food, you prepare for them snacks, drinks, you might gift him something, you'll have a good time, and your guest will leave the house after 2 hours satisfied and happy with a smile on his face. Isn't that true? As guests, when we enter the people's homes and sit with them for 2-3 hours, and then we leave fulfilled, we leave satisfied, then imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's calling you, the guest, to his house. How fulfilled and how satisfied and how nurtured would the believer be after leaving al-hajj and al-umrah and going back to his homeland? Allahu Akbar. So there's immense reward in this. And even my brothers and sisters, on the way back, when we finish Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us this, but when we finish Al-Hajj wal-Umrah and go back, even the trip back home is rewarded in the same manner when you came to Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. This is from the beauty of Al-Islam. That trip back home, as tiring as it's going to be, there is also reward in the same manner you're rewarded when you left your home to come to Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we are going to Mecca. And there's something beautiful about the word Mecca that you should know. The word Mecca, what does it mean? What does it mean, Mecca? What does it mean? It was mentioned in the Quran in the word Bakkata. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this word. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called it Mecca, Mecca comes from the word Al-Makku. And the word Al-Makk in the Arabic language means Al-Imtisas, to suckle, right? So if someone was eating a bone and he was sucking the meat of the bone, that in Arabic is called Makka Al-Azam. And when the child, when the baby, the animal is breastfeeding from the teat of its mother, then in Arabic they say Makka Al-Fasilu Dir'a Ummihi, that the baby animal suckled the teat of its mother, Makk. And so as a result, Makka was called Makka because this is the land in which a person's sins are sucked away from him. The sins are removed away from him and they are taken away. Every step is a sin removed in At-Tawaf. And the kissing of Al-Hajar Al-Aswad are sins being vacuumed and sucked away from a person. And touching Al-Rukn Al-Yamani is also sins being removed. And moving from one place to another in the rituals of Al-Hajj are sins being removed. This is what Mecca is known for. It's like a massive spiritual vacuum that vacuums the sins and the filth of a person. So if you have bad habits and filthy habits and evil deeds that you have been upon for years and years and you don't know how to stop, and if you've given up and you've just accepted some kind of sin or some kind of bad habit in your life because you've tried many years and you've tried thing after thing and it's never ever stopped, then here's your solution. Mecca is the solution in where a person may put a stop to his bad habits and to his filthy sins and to his evil desires. Mecca is the place. So we're preparing for something huge. You need to understand these purposes and these wisdoms. Otherwise, I've seen many people come and go and he doesn't benefit because he did not understand where he's going. This is why we are passionate about teaching such lessons and spreading such wisdom so that you can understand where you're going, so that your experience becomes different. Even for those that have already been, sometimes when you go there often, and you always go there time after time after time, you can forget these things. And so then you just think it's like a regular thing that I'm always going there. But the reality of the matter, it is not. Wallahi, it is not a regular thing to just go there. It's not something that it normally happens to people. This is Allahu A'lam what it is. But the idea is you need to take advantage every single time you step foot in the blessed lands of Mecca. This is going to remove you from your bad state, right? And even al-ulama, rahimahumullah, would mention that if a person was bothered by a sin or by a bad habit that he wasn't able to stop, then he is recommended to go. And when he stands in front of al-Kaaba, that you say, Allahumma aqimni mimma ana fihi min al-dhunubi wal-ma'asi. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ja'ala Allahu al-Ka'bata al-bayt al-haram qiyaman lin-nas wal-shahra al-harama wal-hadya wal-qala'id. So the idea is, Allahumma aqimni mimma ana fih. Oh Allah, remove me from the filth and the evil state that I am in. Remove me from it completely. And this is what Mecca does. We said that Mecca is this suckling, this vacuum effect. It will remove the sins and the filthy habits. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. You just need to be determined. You need to be determined. You need to be sincere. And you need to implore and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with every lap around Al-Kaaba. And to this 7 laps around the Kaaba, what is it? What is 7 laps around the Kaaba? This is the state of a beggar. that is saying, oh Allah, I am not going anywhere until you give me what I want and until you stop me from the evils that I have in my life. You know, imagine someone doing tawaf around something and you're not moving. You're persistent. You're insisting. This is a beggar. This seven times around the Kaaba is implying that a person is humbled before Allah. That, oh Allah, I'm on your door and I will go around and I'll keep going around until I earn and I get what I want. Allahu Akbar, this is the area. This is the place to connect with Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the meeting between you and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, my brothers and sisters in Islam. You are all, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, those that go and fulfill al-hajj wal-umrah, you are all the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallah. And this is not my words. This is not my words. This is not the words of the organizers. I know some messages have gone around saying, welcome to the guests of Allah, the guests. But did you know that it's not our words? We didn't call you the guests of Allah. This is a hadith. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الحجاج والعمار وفد الله, that the people of Al-Hajj and the people that are performing Al-Umrah, they are the guests of Allah. This is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave you the title of being a guest of Allah. Allahu Akbar. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, دعاهم فأجابوا. He called them. He invited them. Allah invited us. And we answered his call. We answered his call. All of this kind of preparation that you're putting together is you answering Allah's call. That's what it is. And then at the end of that dua, at the end of that hadith, he said, وَسَأَلُوهُ فَأَعْطَاهُمْ. And they, the Hujjaj, asked him and he gave them. Allahu Akbar. What does that mean? Meaning the person that does Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, his dua is accepted. Add to this that you're a traveler and the dua of a traveler is accepted. And all along, while you are in the state of Hajj and in the state of Umrah, your dua is accepted and it's answered. This is a time of an answered dua. The entire time you perform the Umrah and the entire time you're performing the Hajj over those 6 days, you are in a state of an accepted dua. You know why? You know why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal called you to Al-Hajj and you answered him. Therefore Allah Azza wa Jal now says to you, request from me and I will give you. In the same manner you answered my call to Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, I will now fulfill your request. Ask me my servant, ask me my slave, that which you want of worldly matters and afterlife matters, and I shall grant it to you. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So these are matters that we should not forget, and we should always be cognizant and aware of this fact. My brothers and sisters in Islam, wallahi, do not underestimate the blessing of being in the Holy Lands. Do not underestimate this blessing. I have a brother here. He lives close to me. And he went once with my father to Al-Hajj. And he tells me this story. He says to me that after the Hajj, my father, he gathered the entire group and he gave them a farewell speech. This is before they left to Sydney. And he said to them, my brothers, he said to them, make dua that Allah Azza wa Jal brings you here again and again. And this friend of mine, he was sitting in that lecture. And he said to me, when your father was saying this, he was tearing and he was crying. And my friend, he says, I didn't understand. Why was your father crying when he was telling the people to ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bring them again and again to Al-Hajj wal-Umrah? He said, I don't understand. Why is it a big deal that we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bring us again and again to this blessed land? He said, I didn't understand this. It's easy. You just apply for a visa and you pay money and you jump on an airplane and you get there. So then this friend of mine, he says to me, wallahi, since the day your father said this, It's now been 11 years and I am fit and strong and I'm wealthy. Mecca is only 2 hours away from where I am. And he hasn't been able to go there. Why? Allahu alam. I don't know. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make it easy upon us all that we're allowed to go to Mecca and to the blessed land time after time, and that Allah Azza wa Jal gives us the ability to perform Al-Hajj wal-Umrah time and time again. So this is something that is written and decreed by Allah Azza wa Jal. You have no say in it whatsoever. We make efforts and we struggle and we strive and we try to put names, and all of these are just means. But ultimately the list is with Allah Azza wa Jal, and it is only Allah Azza wa Jal who invites people to his house. And this doesn't really mean that you're better than anyone or that others that weren't invited are less better than you. Allahu A'lam. But this is seen as a chance that Allah Azza wa Jal gives you and I. A chance. It could either be for you on the Day of Judgment and it becomes a witness for you on the Day of Judgment and a source of good reward for you. And it either could be a witness against you. This entire trip could be a witness against you. And it could be rejected. Allahu A'lam. We don't know. But this is an opportunity Allah Azza wa Jal gives us. This is why we need to make the most of this opportunity. And we need to be humble from the very beginning. And we need to be sincere from the very beginning. And ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He accept this Hajj and this Umrah from us. My brothers and sisters in Islam, when we look at the purposes of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, we realize and we find out that the greatest purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, and this is yani from the things that I would like for you to note down, the very first and the most important purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah is تحقيق التوحيد والبراءة من الشرك. Allahu Akbar. This is the greatest purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. You cannot miss this one. If you miss this, forget everything else. This is the most important one, and that is to affirm your tawheed, to affirm your belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to embrace this reality that Allah Azza wa Jal is one in His worship, in His lordship, and in His names and attributes. Hadith Jabir radiallahu anhu that is found in Sahih Muslim. He says, أَهَلَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ. He said when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore his ihram, he established his Hajj and Umrah with the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. He established his Hajj and his Umrah by saying لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established, he founded his Hajj upon the belief of La ilaha illallah. This is what Al-Hajj wal-Umrah is about. It's about renewing your commitment. It's about renewing that relationship with Allah. It's about the word that will admit you into the paradise. Al-Hajj wal-Umrah is about La ilaha illallah. This word, if it is missing in your life, then a person is doomed to the hellfire forever. This is what Al-Hajj wal-Umrah is about. It's about affirming this belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is why Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu used to say, and the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, he said, كَانَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ يَقُولُونَ لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ. They used to say, لَبَّيْكَ, meaning, O Allah, we are here answering your call. Then they used to say, لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. They will say, our Lord, we answer your call and there is no partners for you. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, وَيْلَكُمْ قَدْ قَدْ. Meaning he'd say to them, don't you dare. That's it, enough. Stop talking right there. Then they used to add and they would say, إِلَّا شَرِيكًا هُوَ لَكَ تَمْلِكُهُ وَمَا مَلَكَ. Then they used to say, O Allah, there are no partners for you except a partner. There is one partner for you. And تَمْلِكُهُ وَمَا مَلَكَ. You own him and everything that he possesses. So they fell into the major shirk They fell into the major shirk, and this is why their tawheed al-rububiyyah was not accepted. And so this is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would repeat لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. He'll repeat it and repeat it and keep repeating it. When he left Al-Madinah, all the way until he reached Mecca, almost 100,000 times he said it. Because if the road is about 14, 12 days to get to Mecca, and let's say they're traveling at night and they're resting in the day, and let's say every 4 or 5 meters you're saying it once, almost 100,000 times he's saying La ilaha illallah, basically. Because at-talbiyah, this is what it points to, and this is what it means. And at the same time, he is denouncing a shirk. And twice, when he says, La sharika lak, there are no partners to you. There are no partners to you whatsoever. And this is what we need to be mindful of, and we need to be careful of. No partners with Allah Azza wa Jal when we're answering the call to Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. Allahu Akbar. So this is from the meanings. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, this purpose, of course, I said to you that the purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah is to establish and affirm your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are results for this tawheed. And from the greatest signs of tawheed, from the greatest signs that you truly believe in one Lord, is sincerity. That you become sincere in your Hajj and Umrah and in all your deeds that you do for Allah. That's the result of a correct tawheed. The one who has correct belief in Allah Azza wa Jal in his heart, the one who has correct belief, that would lead for him to be sincere in all his words and actions that he does for Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is why when Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned Al-Hajj wal-Umrah in the Quran, he said, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. He said, complete your Hajj and your Umrah for Allah. See this, لله, that implies sincerity. It has to be sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be sincere, a narration of Anas radiallahu anhu mentions that حَجَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى رَحْلٍ رَثْ وَقُطِيفَةٍ تُسَاوِي أَرْبَعَةَ دَرَاهِمَ أَوْ لَا تُسَاوِي ثم قال اللهم حجة لا رياء فيها ولا سمعة. الله أكبر. Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم performed Hajj on a cheap saddle, على رحل رث, on a cheap saddle that had a cheap fabric on it. وَقُطِيفَةٍ, you know, the saddle that is put on a camel, and then there is like this kind of fabric. There's this kind of cloth that it's stretched out on the saddle so it can make the ride a little bit more comfortable. But that cloth, that piece of cloth, Anas radiallahu anhu said, it cost 4 dirham to nothing. Yani 0 to 4 dirham. Yani it cost nothing. Nothing, nothing. It was cheap, cheap. It's not even sold. No one buys it. And then when he got on top of the camel, on this very cheap saddle, he said, oh Allah, حَجَّةً وَحَجَّةٌ لَا رِيَاءَ فِيهَا وَلَا سُمْعَةٌ. He said, oh Allah, I am performing a Hajj, and I do not show off with this Hajj, and I do not want to hear the appreciation of people for my Hajj. I am performing this Hajj sincerely for you. Allahu Akbar. And so you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, reflect over this hadith. And so whoever is traveling, leaving your homes, yani perhaps you can refer to this hadith as this was the economy class of the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went economy class to Hajj with a very cheap saddle and a cheap fabric that's on it, and 12 days to get to Mecca. So now, as you jump into your flight, if it's economy class, and there's no leg room in front of you, and there's no space to put the chair backwards and sleep, then remember the greatest creation. He traveled on a saddle that was worth nothing. Allahu Akbar. So you remember this matter. And you remember that this cheap kind of ride to Al-Hajj, that is a sign that you are achieving belief in Allah Azza wa Jal, and you are affirming oneness in Allah Azza wa Jal. Because don't forget, we said that the one who has embraced La ilaha illallah, then a sign of your accepted La ilaha illallah is that all your deeds are done sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And coming to Al-Hajj in this economy manner, like the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, helps a person achieve sincerity in his Hajj. Allahu Akbar. And on this point, I want to mention something that I always see the Hajjaj doing, the people that do Hajj and Umrah, and I don't really like it, and I want to make a point about it. And that is, people often are very quick to pull out their phones while they are doing their Umrah, while they are doing their Hajj, and they begin to take pictures. And the worst of them are the selfies that are taken when a person is doing his tawaf around the Kaaba. My brothers and sisters in Islam, not only does that play with your intention and your sincerity, but it also can perhaps actually nullify and cancel out your tawaf. Because the ulama, rahimahumullah, they said that the qibla of tawaf is to give the Kaaba your left side, right? And that's because the heart is closer to the left. Wallahu alam, some ulama mentioned some kind of wisdoms, but the idea is your left side is supposed to be the Kaaba all the time when you make your tawaf. So those who take selfies, they give their back to the Kaaba and they take a picture like this. And according to some opinions of the scholars, this type of tawaf is nullified. A person will have to repeat the seven again from the beginning. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. How many people fall in this and they have no clue what they're doing? So this selfie and camera thing not only can jeopardize your Hajj, your Umrah, your Tawaf, but it's going to play a lot with your sincerity and your intention. There's no need for memories. There is no need to, I took a picture for memories. This is what the shaitan says. He convinces you that this picture is for memories. Type, it's for memories. Why is it then posted? Why is it then put on the status? Why is it then uploaded to your stories? Why? Maybe it was your memory. Why did you post it up for? Even this is a problem that needs to be addressed. And I would like that all of us, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, are able to achieve a sincere umrah. And I tell you, cameras are not going to help in sincerity. And even worse than this are people that record themselves and they say, here it is, I'm recording myself viewing the Kaaba for the very first time. And then he begins to cry and he's tearing. And what's this? Why are you filming yourself tearing for the first time when you saw the Kaaba? This is supposed to be a moment between you and Allah Azza wa Jal, not between you and TikTok and the people that's on it, not between you and Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp and whatever it is. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, from the seven categories, one of these categories, a person that is shaded in the shade of Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment, is a person who remembered Allah in solitude and then he began to cry. So when you record yourself, that's not solitude. That's out for the entire world to see. So do not destroy your Hajj and your Umrah and your sincerity because of these matters. Keep that phone away. Keep it away. Keep it in the room, in the hotel. Pack it up. You don't need it when you're doing your Hajj and your Umrah because this is a worship. It's like you're in Salat. Would you take out your phone when you're in Salat and take a picture as you're praying? You wouldn't do that. So what's different when you're doing Al-Umrah and you're doing Al-Hajj and when you're doing Al-Tawaf? When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Al-Tawaf is like Salat, except that Allah Azza wa Jal allowed for you to speak in it. That's the only difference, that we can talk in Al-Tawaf, whereas in Al-Salat we cannot talk. And this is why Al-Ulama conditioned that you're supposed to have wudu when you do a tawaf. And if your wudu broke, you have to go out, make wudu and come back in. So it only makes sense that you keep that phone packed away. And no pictures, unless you're using it to read a specific dua when you're going around. There's no specific dua for a tawaf, but if you got a list of dua that you want to make as you're doing tawaf, then there's no problem. Or you're reading Quran and you're making some adhkar, there's no issue to bring out the phone to help you in that matter. Now, my brothers and sisters in Islam, perhaps we're going to conclude with this. I will mention to you the second purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, and we're going to conclude with this, and then we're going to take questions and answers, if there is, inshallah, any. The second purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah is Al-Fawzu bi ridha Allah wal-Najat min al-Nar wal-Fawza bi maghfiratihi wa rahmatihi. The second purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah is to attain Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness and His pleasure and His mercy, and to be saved from the hellfire. That is a purpose in Hajj. Every single step you take in Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, keep this in your mind, that I am seeking that Allah forgive my sins and grant me His pleasure and His mercy and save me from the hellfire. Every single step of the way, be conscious of this purpose. When you wear the ihram, when the ihram becomes dirty, when you're all sweating because it's very hot there now, when the air condition is working, it's not working, the fans are on, it's turned off, water, there's no hot water, cold water, whatever it is, whatever the hardship is, whatever the difficulty is in your heart, all of this is contributing towards you earning a forgiveness from Allah and earning His pleasure and His mercy and being saved from the fire. And I share with you one hadith on this point, and that is the hadith of Amr ibn al-As. Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu, he was a disbeliever, then he accepted Islam, and of course he became a companion. But when he came to accept Islam, listen to this. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, ubsut yadaka ubayi'ak. He said, O Messenger of Allah, spread your hand so that I may give you a pledge of allegiance. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam extended his hands out, and you know what happened? Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu immediately retracted his hand. فَقَبَضَ يَدَهُ. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Ya Amr, مَالَك? What's wrong with you? He said, O Messenger of Allah, I will not accept Islam except with a condition, and that is that Allah forgive my sins. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Ya Amr, ama alimta anna al-Islam yahdimu ma kana qablahu, wa anna al-hijrata tahdimu ma kana qablaha, wa anna al-hajja yahdimu ma qablahu. He said to him, O Amr, didn't you know that Islam, meaning the one who embraces Islam, all his past sins are forgiven? And the one who undergoes al-hijrah, the one who migrates for the sake of Allah, and what is mentioned, or what is meant by this, is the hijrah from Mecca to Al-Madina. Whoever does the hijrah, all his sins, previous sins, minor and major, are forgiven. And whoever performs Hajj, that also wipes away all his sins. But the reflection I want to make with you, and this is the concluding remark on this hadith, and that is that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam combined the reward of Islam, the reward of hijrah, and the reward of al-hajj together. So you know, a person who embraces Islam today, and the one who performs a hajj, the one who embraced Islam, don't we all know and accept and believe that all his sins, major and minor, are forgiven? That's the very same hadith that also mentioned the reward of al-hajj. And so al-hajj will remove the sins, minor and major, all of them of the past, just like someone has accepted Islam now. Allahu Akbar. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us this gift. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that which is best for us. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And inshallah, in our next lesson, we will continue with the purposes of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah.